JC2S, Part 2.
Number 7B.
So we see then that as soul is doing that, it then has that inner search mechanism that is searching and finding. It certainly finds. It always fulfills its goal. It has love behind it. Soul never misses its mark. It's going to find what it's looking for, itself. And therefore, if it doesn't, it's going to make sure, as I said now, it is as itself. So we can rest assured that even in the world, when we feel that, as we said before, this is not only about ourselves, but by the world, if we feel that there's ever an evil force, so to speak, in the world, we say, well, error is neither person, place, or thing. It's just some claim against God. And because we know that the Christ is going on in its translation and retranslation in the whole universe, including man, nothing is going to miss the searching of soul. Soul will not miss its mark. It will seek and it will find and it will retranslate. It's a law. It's soul, which is love. Soul has that love behind it, which will not let it miss its goal. It will accomplish what it sets out to accomplish. And that same thing with spirit, that spirit also then will take that idea that soul has kept integrity with the principle, and it will take those ideas now that are ideas, and it begins to diversify them, classify them, and individualize them, ordering them, making sure that it becomes the right idea for a specific situation. And that always, that ordering process always has a purification sense, always a sense of unfolding for good. That retranslation of soul, if it finds something that isn't quite like itself, then spirit sets to work through its diversification, classification, individualization process as purifying the situation. And therefore, when that idea comes and is manifested to us in mind, therefore that whole process then of soul bringing the idea back into the principle, spirit ordering it, making it pure within the principle, specific purity within the principle, that's what spirit does. It makes sure that that idea which is lost now finds its exact place within the principle. It will diversify it, classify it, and individualize it, put it right into the order of God. It brings it back into order and finds its right place in the order of enfoldment. And then mind says, all right, then that is the law of correction that is going on. So we see then that this is happening, as we saw, simultaneously. So when this Christ order comes to us, and through that dynamic power of principle, life, truth, love, and as soul has made sure that the subject and object is one, and spirit has made sure that that idea is diversified, classified, and individualized within the order of being, and mind has made sure that that idea which come is understood, then that, as we see now, has us go through the first degrees. Now, if we go to page 115 to begin with, we see then it has us on 115 to begin. We see then that the retranslation takes place, therefore, through 3 degrees. Therefore, it comes, that idea of God comes and it uncovers the first degree of depravity. Well, it just sees then that that first degree is unreality. That physical realm that we call reality, Mrs. Eddy will show in theology and medicine over and over that it is unreality. That physical is not something per se. It doesn't exist. She takes right away any value to the physical realm. Well, that's Christian Science, because we see even with Max's new booklet on the order approach to being that Christian Science begins with all is mental. Christian Science doesn't even take in the physical realm as a reality. It just starts taking in the mental realm, which is sometimes real and sometimes unreal. So it's that physical realm is only considered total unreality, depravity. It's that realm of beliefs. But it's that realm of beliefs objectified. It's an illusion. So therefore, the only standpoint that one begins to deal with is the second degree, where evil beliefs begin to disappear. It's a transitional stage, that moral stage, which is really going on within the mental realm. And that in within that mental realm, it sometimes has divine thoughts from the spiritual and sometimes evil beliefs from the physical realm. Now that mental realm is where those beliefs are going on. It's that realm where all those beliefs that have ever been thought, it's that realm that we're born into. We're born always into a mental realm, never into a physical realm. Because matter, as Mrs. Eddy already showed us in this chapter, is just mind objectified. We know how she said, that was my discovery. As she said already on page 108, as mind is mine, she says, when apparently near the confines of mortal existence, standing already within the shadow of Death Valley, I learn these truths in divine science, that all real being is in God the divine mind, and that life, truth, and love are all powerful and ever present, that the opposite of truth called error, sin, sickness, disease, and death is the false testimony of the false material sense of mind in matter, that this false sense evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind which this same so-called mind names matter, thereby shutting out the true sense of spirit. So she already shows that that first degree called error, sin, sickness, disease, and death, that all those qualities of the first degree, that false testimony of the false material senses, that is a false sense which has evolved in belief. She already takes it to the next degree, to the second degree, to the mental, and says that whole first degree has just been evolved in belief. It's a subjective state of mortal mind. Therefore, the first degree is just a belief in mortal mind objectified. And they already see that in the world of the sciences. We know that quote that we like to quote from The Universe and Dr. Einstein by Lincoln Barnett, where Barnett says, thus the scientists and philosophers are coming to the startling conclusion that whole objective universe of matter and energy, atoms and the stars, does not exist, but he doesn't leave it there, except as a construction of the consciousness, an edifice of conventional symbols shaped by the senses of man. So they already begin to take away from the physical universe any reality, and they put it right to the human mind, and says that physical universe only exists as a construction of the human consciousness. Well, that's what Mrs. Eddy said, that physical realm evolves in belief, a subjective state of mortal mind, which this same so-called mind names matter and objectifies, she says. So what we're dealing with are beliefs. Well, that's therefore fine, because that lets ideas heal beliefs. Because if it was such that there were two substances comprising the universe, mind and matter, we would have to go with the Descartes theory, the Cartesian metaphysical dualism of Descartes, that there's mind and matter, that there's a mind which is the thinking substance, and matter, which is an entity in itself. And therefore, if we took Descartes' theory, of his theory, it says, well, how can an idea strike upon matter? How can an idea strike upon a hammer? And how can a hammer strike upon an idea? So because it is not a Descartes view of the world, because the world is not answered according to Cartesian metaphysical dualism, but answered according to a spiritual paradigm, we see therefore that this mental realm is causing the physical. That's why she has unreality there at the physical, but only transitional at the second degree. So we're always dealing with beliefs. And therefore, as we saw yesterday, when we were born into this mental realm, we took on those beliefs of this mental realm of duality, as we saw then that Sheldrick has shown. We've taken on those morphogenetic beliefs that have ever been believed. The past is present. Or that's what Carl Jung showed when he said that the archetypical beliefs think us. And the difficulty is that the belief is that the greater of those beliefs control the individual, as we know now. That greater belief of death, you see that it's a universal belief of death, controls the collective, controls the individual. And yet Jesus, on one side, on God's side as a majority, handled and broke all sense of a material birth. He just came and broke, Mrs. Eddy shows in theology, that whole line of material birth from an amoeba all the way up to man and said, I'm not of that line, I come from God. My origin is from the Father. And so he broke the claims of the universal beliefs of death. He didn't adhere to that line of birth, which brings to it that morphogenetic field. He says, I appear in it, but I'm not of it. I am not of that mentality that believes that the universal beliefs of death control the individual, control the collective, control the individual. I am not of that mental paradigm. That mental paradigm operates within its own illusion, within its own hypnotism. It just is like the wheel of samsara. It just goes on and repeating itself. And he said, follow me, let the dead bury the dead. That will just go on and on. And therefore, I'm not in it, I'm outside of it. And so he said, now, if we go to the third degree, it shows then that that realm of ideas heal beliefs. And when those ideas heal beliefs, it heals the physical. So always, that's why we see in medicine, and she'll show us, that the remedy, as I've said already now, are our mind's ideas. They're the remedies. That's why our only safety is in the divine. Only safety. We have no safety in the mental, because those universal, collective, and individual beliefs of death, and then of family traits, and of genetic beliefs on the physical, and astrological beliefs on the mental, control us. So we see now our safety is staying outside it. We really can't afford to be in it. So that now is our safety, and as platoons, we need to start drilling and drilling, because it's the only way the universe, including man, is going to be safe, as I've been showing, is by our consciousness going out from the spiritual paradigm and knowing that that spiritual first record of creation cannot be turned into spiritualism. It cannot be turned into its opposite. And we're always at work with the white garments, always at work in this third degree. Always at work out from the first degree, from the first day of mind. Let there be light. Let there be intelligence. Let there be wisdom. And the second degree of day of spirit. Let there be spirit. Let there be that faculty of discernment which separates the real from the unreal and focuses only on that first record of creation that doesn't mingle with the second, that doesn't give in to spiritualism. And therefore, and let there be soul, the third day of spiritual understanding. And let there be principle, the fourth day of spiritual power. And seeing that that spiritual understanding that we have of the first record has power, has within itself spiritual power. And let there be life, the fifth day. Let there be that love in us that is willing to let go of the mortal concept of life as given by the second record of creation and love the divine concept so much that they're willing to give up our life for a friend And the friend is the Christ. The friend is God. We're willing to give up our false concepts of life and follow the divine way of life, to follow the order of mind, spirit, soul, principle in our consciousness. And let there be the sixth day. Let there be health. Let there be that healthy, whole consciousness, that holistic consciousness, which always knows that God can never be divided into its opposite. And with a consciousness filled with the allness of God and its ideas, against such a consciousness there is no law. That's health. And let there be love, the seventh day. Let there be that sense of holiness, where the sum total of deity is only going on, where the whole universe, including man, is operating in that truth consciousness, in that realm of holiness, or in that realm of love. And Mrs. Eddy says that in the third degree there, if we have that third degree of spiritual understanding in reality, then mortal mind disappears. Then that second degree disappears of the mortal human mind. And when it disappears, the physical realm disappears, because that's just mortal mind objectified. And man as God's image appears. So finally, there's that time where the Son of God is only in heaven. There's no longer this ascending and descending. There just will be that sense of the spiritual realm. As Mrs. Eddy said, that this belief in a material universe is too ridiculous to last. And it's happening. And we as Christian Scientists know that we would feel really sorry if the world passed us by and gave to us Christian Science, which it will do. If we aren't staying pure, because already we see through the new sciences how they have moved from the physical explanation to a mental explanation, certainly not into the spiritual explanation. So it is such then that it will come a time when the world would look back on us and, if we didn't do it, and say, you had it. Why wasn't there the fidelity to the truth? So we have fidelity to the truth, because we wouldn't be going on in the Dorley-Kapler line with such beautiful fidelity. And we're also grateful of the support for the summer schools these last 2 years, because those who have supported the summer schools, we know, have fidelity to the truth. It's the truth they seek and not personality. And that is welcomed and appreciated and deeply loved, because we will make it. I know. I'm very optimistic. I know we did. We have made it. We have made it. We've proved we've made it. And so this Christian Science will fulfill what Mrs. Eddy wanted it to do. I know it. I just know it, because of what we're doing together as the little band of faithful scientists. So these degrees, then, as we go back to that simultaneous translation and retranslation, when the Christ then uncovers the second degree of evil beliefs disappearing, we now know to ourselves, I will not identify with that belief. If it comes to me as a bodily claim, I will not identify with it. The Christ has uncovered it for me, for it to go away. Mrs. Eddy said, when error is uncovered, it's already two-thirds destroyed, and the last third destroys itself. So we would be silly to take in the suggestion. It's just there to go away. We don't want to be an Eve and just make a reality out of something that is on its way out. At the last minute, suddenly say, oh, it's mine. So we say now that we, whatever the claim is in the universe, including man, that would look like evil now, we don't identify with it. We don't take it in as fatalistic and say, that is me. We go on now and we turn right around to the third degree and say, it's on its way out. And anyhow, that which I already am has made it happen. See, that idea which has come to us, which we have understood, by the law of opposites, Mrs. Eddy said, it by itself, unknown to us, has simultaneously analyzed that belief in the first degree as unreality, uncovered it as the second degree as only a false belief, and therefore is going to annihilate it within our consciousness so that we just get out of the way and let that process of correction go on with us, always looking to the higher order, always looking to the idea that was behind the analyzing, uncovering, and annihilating. And if we're grateful for that idea, grateful for that big vision, that's our safety, because in the realm of idea, an idea cannot be separated from the principle. So if we look to the idea that has caused this retranslation and keep focusing on that which has come to our life as the highest concept of God, don't give up God because we have error. You see, that was a tendency. Well, I've been in Christian Science all my life, or I followed the Dorley Kapler for 20 years, and suddenly all this hell is going on in my life. Well, I better give it up and go do something else. Right on the brink of going forward. One would go back into Egypt. So we learned in the wilderness period, now we go forward because we're on the brink of the third degree in our lives. So we don't go away from the teachings, but now we focus on them even more because we say, now that is bringing out the idea in my life, and my safety is keep seeing that idea. Because that idea is safe in its principle. And as an idea, it never can be destroyed. We'd have to destroy the principle in order to destroy the idea. That's impossible. So I just have no, and I take in through concept building, tonality building, consciousness building, and being building that idea until that idea has supremacy within my consciousness, and with a consciousness filled with the allness of God and its idea. Against such a consciousness, there is no law, and we go into the new paradigm, into the higher order, and in the third degree, mortal mind and all those false beliefs disappears. It works. Christian Science works. We've seen it in our life. If we have been willing to go forward and into the promised land, then we allow that principle then in the promised land to govern our life. And we are living examples that this welcoming of the Christ and its translation and retranslation works by our tenacity to go forward. So this I wanted to take a moment to go over, because that now is the whole chapter that there's either we'll find it in the Christ, in the Minor Prophets, this terrific Christ is the Christ tone, but already the Minor Prophets are just there at the 4,000 year period. It's just introducing it in the Bible as a statement that this is going on within being in those Minor Prophets, just showing us that the Christ is at work. But and at this point of truth, that Christ which is work now is at the point of truth, is resolving the error within consciousness. So at this point of the chapter, it's going now on within our consciousness. And therefore, that's why this is such a powerful chapter, and it causes revolutions within us, because it is such a powerful blending of the Christ as a Christ, which we now see is behind the law, which I gave out, and we'll take this after our break. We will now come and we'll just do this exercise of the law behind the chapter for just probably a half an hour or so, and then we go into theology.